Chapter 162. Chiefly matrimonial, the grand half-yearly festival holden by Dr. and Mrs. Blimmer, on which occasion they requested the pleasure of the company of every young gentleman pursuing his studies in that genteel establishment, at an early party, when the hour was 7:30, and when the object was quadrilles, had duly taken place, about this time, and the young gentlemen, with no unbecoming demonstrations of levity, had betaken themselves, in a state of scholastic repletion, to their own homes. Mr. Skettles had repaired abroad, permanently to grace the establishment of his father Sir Barnet Skettles, whose popular manners had obtained him a diplomatic appointment, the honors of which were discharged by himself and Lady Skettles, to the satisfaction even of their own countrymen and countrywomen, which was considered almost miraculous. Mr. Tozer, now a young man of lofty stature, in Wellington boots, was so extremely full of antiquity, as to be nearly on a par with a genuine ancient Roman in his knowledge of English, a triumph that affected his good parents with the tenderest emotions, and caused the father and mother of Mr. Briggs, whose learning, like ill-arranged luggage, was so tightly packed that he couldn't get at anything he wanted, to hide their diminished heads. The fruit laboriously gathered from the tree of knowledge by this latter young gentleman, in fact, had been subjected to so much pressure, that it had become a kind of intellectual Norfolk Biffin, and had nothing of its original form or flavor remaining. Master Bitherstone now, on whom the forcing system had the happier, and not uncommon effect of leaving no impression whatever, when the forcing apparatus ceased to work, was in a much more comfortable plight, and being then on shipboard, bound for Bengal, found himself forgetting, with such admirable rapidity, that it was doubtful whether his declensions of noun substantives would hold out to the end of the voyage. When Dr. Blimmer, in pursuance of the usual course, would have said to the young gentleman, on the morning of the party, "Gentlemen, we will resume our studies on the 25th of next month," apostrophe he departed from the usual course, and said, "Gentlemen, when our friend Cincinnatus retired to his farm, he did not present to the Senate any Roman who he sought to nominate as his successor." Apostrophe, "but there is a Roman here," apostrophe said Dr. Blimmer, laying his hand on the shoulder of Mr. Feeder, B.A., Adolescens Imprimus Gravis A. Doctus, "gentlemen, whom I, a retiring Cincinnatus, wish to present to my little Senate, as their future dictator. Gentlemen, we will resume our studies on the 25th of next month, under the auspices of Mr. Feeder, B.A. apostrophe at this," which Dr. Blimmer had previously called upon all the parents, under Bainley explained, the young gentleman cheered, and Mr. Tozer, on behalf of the rest, instantly presented the doctor with a silver inkstand, in a speech containing very little of the mother tongue, but 15 quotations from the Latin, and 7 from the Greek, which moved the younger of the young gentlemen to discontent and envy. They remarking, "Oh, ah, it was all very well for old Tozer, but they didn't subscribe money for old Tozer to show off with," they supposed. Did they? What business was it of old Tozer's more than anybody else's? It wasn't his inkstand. Why couldn't he leave the boy's property alone? Apostrophe, apostrophe, and murmuring other expressions of their dissatisfaction, which seemed to find a greater relief in calling him old Tozer than in any other available vent. Not a word had been said to the young gentleman, nor a hint dropped, of anything like a contemplated marriage between Mr. Feeder, B.A., and the fair Cornelia Blimmer. Dr. Blimmer, especially, seemed to take pains to look as if nothing would surprise him more, but it was perfectly well known to all the young gentlemen nevertheless, and when they departed for the society of their relations and friends, they took leave of Mr. Feeder with awe. Mr. Feeder's most romantic visions were fulfilled. The doctor had determined to paint the house outside, and put it in thorough repair, and to give up the business, and to give up Cornelia. the painting and repairing began upon the very day of the young gentleman's departure, and now behold, the wedding morning was come, and Cornelia, in a new pair of spectacles, was waiting to be led to the hymeneal altar. The doctor with his learned legs, and Mrs. Blimmer in a lilac bonnet, and Mr. Feeder, B.A., with his long knuckles and his bristly head of hair, and Mr. Feeder's brother, the Reverend Alfred Feeder, M.A., who was to perform the ceremony, were all assembled in the drawing room, and Cornelia with her orange flowers and bridesmaids had just come down, and looked, as of old, a little squeezed in appearance, but very charming, when the door opened, and the weak-eyed young man, in a loud voice, made the following proclamation. Mr. and Mrs. Toots. ... Upon which there entered Mr. Toots, grown extremely stout, and on his arm a lady very handsomely and becomingly dressed, with very bright black eyes. Mrs. Blimmer, ... said Mr. Toots, allow me to present my wife. ... Mrs. Blimmer was delighted to receive her. Mrs. Blimmer was a little condescending, but extremely kind. And as you've known me for a long time, you know, ... said Mr. Toots, let me assure you, that she is one of the most remarkable women that ever lived. ... My dear. ... remonstrated Mrs. Toots. Upon my word and honor she is, ... said Mr. Toots. I assure you, Mrs. Blimmer, she's a most extraordinary woman. ... Mrs. Toots laughed merrily, and Mrs. Blimmer led her to Cornelia. Mr. Toots having paid his respects in that direction, and having saluted his old preceptor, who said, in allusion to his conjugal state, well, Toots, so you are one of us, are you, Toots? ... retired with Mr. Feeder, B.A., into a window. Mr. Feeder, B.A., being in great spirits, made a spar at Mr. Toots, and tapped him skillfully with the back of his hand on the breastbone. Well, old buck, ... said Mr. Feeder with a laugh. Well, here we are. Taken in and done for. Eh? ... returned Mr. Toots. I give you joy. If you're as perfectly blissful in a matrimonial life, as I am myself, you'll have nothing to desire. ... I don't forget my old friends, you see, ... said Mr. Feeder. I ask them to my wedding, Toots. ... replied Mr. Toots gravely, the fact is, that there were several circumstances which prevented me from communicating with you until after my marriage had been solemnized. In the first place, I had made a perfect brute of myself to you, on the subject of Miss Dombey, and I felt that, if you were asked to any wedding of mine, you would naturally expect, that it was with Miss Dombey, which involved explanations, that upon my word and honor, at that crisis, would have knocked me completely over. In the second place, our wedding was strictly private, there being nobody present, but one friend of myself and Mrs. Toots, who is a captain in I don't exactly know in what, ... said Mr. Toots, but it's of no consequence. I hope, Feeder, that in writing a statement of what had occurred before Mrs. Toots and myself went abroad upon our foreign tour, I fully discharged the offices of friendship. ... Toots, my boy, ... said Mr. Feeder, shaking his hands, I was joking. ... And now, Feeder, ... said Mr. Toots, I should be glad to know what you think of my union. ... Capital. ... returned Mr. Feeder. You think it's capital, do you, Feeder? ... said Mr. Toots solemnly. Then how capital must it be to me? For you can never know what an extraordinary woman that is. ... Mr. Feeder was willing to take it for granted. But Mr. Toots shook his head, and wouldn't hear of that being possible. You see, ... said Mr. Toots, what I wanted in a wife was in short, was sense. Money, Feeder, I had. Sense I had not, particularly. ... Mr. Feeder murmured, oh, yes, you had, Toots. ... But Mr. Toots said, no, Feeder, I had not. Why should I disguise it? I had not. I knew that sense was there, apostrophe said Mr. Toots, stretching out his hand towards his wife, in perfect heaps. I had no relation to object or be offended, on the score of station, for I had no relation. I have never had anybody belonging to me but my guardian, and him, Feeder, I have always considered as a pirate and a corsair. Therefore, you know it was not likely, apostrophe said Mr. Toots, that I should take his opinion. Apostrophe, no, apostrophe said Mr. Feeder. Accordingly, apostrophe resumed Mr. Toots, I acted on my own. Bright was the day on which I did so. Feeder. Nobody but myself can tell what the capacity of that woman's mind is. If ever the rights of women, and all that kind of thing, are properly attended to, it will be through her powerful intellect, Susan, my dear. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Toots, looking abruptly out of the windows. Pray, do not exert yourself. Apostrophe, apostrophe, my dear, apostrophe, said Mrs. Toots, I was only talking. Apostrophe, but, my love, apostrophe, said Mr. Toots, pray do not exert yourself. You really must be careful. Do not, my dear Susan, exert yourself. She's so easily excited, apostrophe said Mr. Toots, apart to Mrs. Blimmer, and then she forgets the medical man altogether. Apostrophe, Mrs. Blimmer was impressing on Mrs. Toots the necessity of caution, when Mr. Feeder, B.A., offered her his arm, and led her down to the carriages that were waiting to go to church. Dr. Blimmer escorted Mrs. Toots. Mr. Toots escorted the fair bride, around whose lambent spectacles two gauzy little bridesmaids fluttered like moths. Mr. Feeder's brother, Mr. Alfred Feeder, M.A., had already gone on, in advance, to assume his official functions. The ceremony was performed in an admirable manner. Cornelia, with her crisp little curls, went in, apostrophe as the chicken might have said, with great composure, and Dr. Blimmer gave her away, like a man who had quite made up his mind to it. The gauzy little bridesmaids appeared to suffer most. Mrs. Blimmer was affected, but gently so, and told the Reverend Mr. Alfred Feeder, M.A., on the way home, that if she could only have seen Cicero in his retirement at Tusculum, she would not have had a wish, now, ungratified. There was a breakfast afterwards, limited to the same small party, at which the spirits of Mr. Feeder, B.A., were tremendous, and so communicated themselves to Mrs. Toots, that Mr. Toots was several times heard to observe, across the table, my dear Susan, don't exert yourself. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the best of it was, that Mr. Toots felt it incumbent on him to make a speech, and in spite of a whole code of telegraphic dissuasions from Mrs. Toots, appeared on his legs for the first time in his life. I really, apostrophe said Mr. Toots, in this house, where whatever was done to me in the way of any mental confusion sometimes which is of no consequence and I impute to nobody, I was always treated like one of Dr. Blimmer's family, and had a desk to myself for a considerable period, cannot allow my friend Feeder, to be apostrophe, Mrs. Toots suggested married. Apostrophe, it may not be inappropriate to the occasion, or altogether uninteresting, apostrophe said Mr. Toots with a delighted face, to observe that my wife is a most extraordinary woman, and would do this much better than myself allow my friend Feeder, to be married especially to apostrophe, Mrs. Toots suggested to Miss Blimmer. Apostrophe, to Mrs. Feeder, my love. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Toots, in a subdued tone of private discussion. Whom God hath joined, you know, let no man don't you know. I cannot allow my friend Feeder, to be married especially to Mrs. Feeder without proposing their toasts, and may, apostrophe, said Mr. Toots, fixing his eyes on his wife, as if for inspiration in a high flight, may the torch of Hymen be the beacon of joy, and may the flowers we have this day strewed in their path, be the banishers of gloom. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Dr. Blimmer, who had a taste for metaphor, was pleased with this, and said, very good, Toots. Very well said, indeed, Toots. apostrophe and nodded his head, and patted his hands. Mr. Feeder made in reply, a comic speech checkered with sentiment. Mr. Alfred Feeder, M.A., was afterwards very happy on Dr. and Mrs. Blimmer. Mr. Feeder, B.A., scarcely less so, on the gauzy little bridesmaids. Dr. Blimmer then, in a sonorous voice, delivered a few thoughts in the pastoral style, relative to the rushes among which it was the intention of himself and Mrs. Blimmer to dwell, and the bee that would hum around their cot. Shortly after which, as the doctor's eyes were twinkling in a remarkable manner, and his son-in-law had already observed that time was made for slaves, and had inquired whether Mrs. Toots sang, the discreet Mrs. Blimmer dissolved the sitting, and sent Cornelia away, very cool and comfortable, in a postchaise, with the man of her heart. Mr. and Mrs. Toots withdrew to the Bedford. Mrs. Toots had been there before in old times, under her maiden name of Nipper, and there found a letter, which it took Mr. Toots such an enormous time to read, that Mrs. Toots was frightened. My dear Susan, apostrophe said Mr. Toots, fright is worse than exertion. Pray be calm. Apostrophe apostrophe, who is it from? Apostrophe apostrophe asked Mrs. Toots. Why, my love, apostrophe said Mr. Toots, it's from Captain Gills. Do not excite yourself. Walters and Miss Dombey are expected home. Apostrophe, my dear, apostrophe said Mrs. Toots, raising herself quickly from the sofa, very pale, don't try to deceive me, for it's no use, there come home I see it plainly in your face. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she's a most extraordinary woman. Apostrophe, apostrophe exclaimed Mr. Toots, in rapturous admiration. You're perfectly right, my love, they have come home. Miss Dombey has seen her father, and they are reconciled. Apostrophe, reconciled. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mrs. Toots, clapping her hands. My dear, apostrophe said Mr. Toots, pray do not exert yourself. Do remember the medical man. Captain Gill says at least he don't say, but I imagine, from what I can make out, he means that Miss Dombey has brought her unfortunate father away from his old house, to one where she and Walters are living, that he is lying very ill there supposed to be dying, and that she attends upon him night and day. Apostrophe, Mrs. Toots began to cry quite bitterly. My dearest Susan, apostrophe replied Mr. Toots, do, if you possibly can, remember the medical man. If you can't, it's of no consequence, but do endeavor to. Apostrophe, apostrophe, his wife, with her old manner suddenly restored, so pathetically entreated him to take her to her precious pet, her little mistress, her own darling, and the like, that Mr. Toots, whose sympathy and admiration were of the strongest kind, consented from his very heart of hearts, and they agreed to depart immediately, and present themselves in answer to the captain's letter. Now some hidden sympathies of things, or some coincidences, had that day brought the captain himself, toward whom Mr. and Mrs. Toots were soon journeying, into the flowery train of wedlock, not as a principal, but as an accessory. It happened accidentally, and thus. The captain, having seen Florence and her baby for a moment, to his unbounded content, and having had a long talk with Walter, turned out for a walk, feeling it necessary to have some solitary meditation on the changes of human affairs, and to shake his glazed hat profoundly over the fall of Mr. Dombey, for whom the generosity and simplicity of his nature were awakened in a lively manner. The captain would have been very low, indeed, on the unhappy gentleman's account, but for the recollection of the baby, which afforded him such intense satisfaction. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.